I'm Janice Pearson, and I'm the Vice President of Global Content Protection for Convergent Risks, and I'm very excited to introduce our breakout session today, which is designed to prepare you for a security emergency. So we've created an interactive forum that where Alex Pickering will set up the background for a fictitious security threat. And then you'll have the opportunity to address three scenarios where we're going to introduce additional information. And through SurveyMonkey, you'll have the opportunity to choose the best course of action that you would take given the information that's introduced. And then we'll go through as a group and discuss the results. And you'll have an opportunity to have your questions asked by your questions answered by our esteemed panel, and then they'll also be able to share their experiences in containing content leaks. So the goal of the exercise is to promote a thorough, thought-provoking discussion between you and the panel on how to mitigate risk through proactive measures and successful strategies you can employ while you're in the midst of an investigation. So keep in mind that every organization is different and has its own risk tolerance and organizational structure. So when it comes to the answers, your answers are going to be different, and that's okay. It's meant to be a lively and fun discussion. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce our panel, starting with Alex Pickering.
So we know who Alex is because he did a great presentation earlier.
So I'm going to present the scenario. This may be based on real life. So you work for a major network that's commissioned a new mini-series that has been spun off from an established drama which will consist of three episodes. The mini-series is considered to be high-value content due to its popularity with its established fan base and high production value. Three previous series, which followed the same three-episode format, were global hits with significant audience figures in the US, China, UK, and across Europe. The full mini-series is scheduled to air during the 3 days leading to Christmas. The mini-series was sold to more than 50 partners around the world, many of whom plan to broadcast the episodes at the same day and time as in the US. In addition, the content has been sold to cinema partners in some regions, also likely to be the same day and time as the US release. A number of global partners have early access to the content for localization purposes. For example, closed captioning, subtitling, or dubbing. And received the full episodes and scripts ahead of broadcast. Some partners may offload this work to vendors that were not reported to the network and did not go through the same security vetting process. A significant global marketing campaign is now underway and will include the release of iconic photography and trailers of varying length. These assets will also be made available to the partners for localization and playout. Today it is now 3 weeks before the broadcast of the first episode. The final content has been received from the production company and is now being shared by your operations team with partners across the globe.
So at this point, if you will participate, if you shine your phone up there, see if you can capture the barcode. If you've got iPhones, if you scan that, it'll automatically come up with SurveyMonkey. Or if it doesn't work, just put in surveymonkey.com/ lowercase r /D66P9WS. So while you're doing that, we'll sort of chat through how it's going to work. We actually did this in London at the London Content Protection Summit last month, and I think we had 100 people in the room. We had something like 80 people doing it, so it should work. But if it all fails, then we can do a show of hands. So once you've sort of done that and got that going, most people see SurveyMonkey, is that coming up? You've got the options? Yeah, great. So we'll just go through each of the options, each of the scenarios of the background of what Alex has presented.
So So how are we doing with the survey? It takes about a minute to get through, but I figured as you're going through, we can at least get started on the first scenario. But before we do that, I'd also like to introduce Ben Schofield, who's on our panel. Would you like to give a...
Yeah, so I've been working for the last 15 years in media workflows, so the launch of BBC iPlayer, BFI Player. I've done a lot of work on Apple Cloud, so that's a bit asked to come on.
Very good.
Good. Okay, so you want to go through the first...
Yes. There we go. So, our first updated information is that you are enjoying your weekend when one of the marketing team executives calls to inform you that they received a tip from a fan that there's chatter on Twitter regarding a leak of a trailer for episode 1 that contains spoilers. There is no evidence to back this up, but tweets between groups of fans indicate that it is being shared privately, and their comments suggest that it could be real. So we have three different actions that we could take. Now, as you're looking at these, some of you, if you're involved in incident response, you might think of other things that might be other answers as well, and we can discuss those. Your first option is do nothing but monitor social media. Start a formal investigation, assemble a team, or initiate legal and communication strategy discussions. So of the group, how many of you think that it's that one is the first thing that you would do?
Well, they're going to vote on it.
Okay.
Yeah, vote on this. So if it comes up, just select the one you want, and then we'll go straight into the second one. So we'll go through the voting, and then we'll discuss. Yeah. So if you want to read out the second one.
Okay. So the second update is the leak is confirmed is real. One of the fans decides to post the 2-minute trailer on YouTube, and it quickly starts to spread across all social media outlets. The trailer contains a big spoiler about a returning character, which has been kept a secret. Total views so far are past 50,000 and increasing fast as the world wakes up. Your phone is red hot with emails, calls, and texts from various people, including a production company and the head of corporate communications and public relations. So in this instance, our options are, what are your immediate priorities in terms of managing this incident? First, we wait until the content protection team has more information before returning calls. 2, start a formal investigation based on the contingency plan. Or 3, implement the legal and communication strategy.
So if you vote on that one, and then we get update 3.
So update 3. Your investigation is now focused on the theory that the leaked trailer came from the server of a localization vendor in Eastern Europe. This is based on your chatter online coming from a Reddit group, which has been translated. You have also identified the original uploader of the content. So in this instance, what are the options in terms of validating this theory, protecting all other content, and giving assurance to stakeholders? So our first option is focus incident response activities on gathering information from localization partners to determine root cause. 2, using a fake Reddit account, pressure members to reveal the identity of the server in question. Or 3, initiate discussions to pursue possible legal action of the suspected uploader. So has everybody had a chance to complete the survey? Yes? Okay.
Great. So now what should happen is that the results will come in. And then we can see the majority votes. So okay, so there we go. So number 2 in that scenario was start a formal investigation. The majority of people came up with that.
So for those of you that chose 2, what was your main reason for choosing to start a formal investigation? Anybody have anything that they want to share? Their rationale?
To validate what you've heard before taking any action, and maybe, try and walk.
Right. So in that instance, as a part of that investigation, what are some of the steps that you take? You know, first off, how many of you would actually do any undercover reconnaissance to try and see if you can gain some additional information? Yes?
I think it depends a lot on your human intelligence and your open source intelligence. You know, if you're running covert sort of human intelligence and you've got really good social media monitoring, you can validate that tip off and make it very credible very quickly. And that's what I've seen in the past is, you know, if you get a tip off like that, you can determine very quickly if it's valid or not. And then, you know, that triggers off the rest of the incident, the rest of the team getting together. So I made a bit of an assumption when I answered about like, how good the intelligence is.
Right, and oftentimes in those situations, as information as it starts to spread, you're going to have key stakeholders probably reaching out to you, wanting to know what's going on, because they may have seen some of that similar chatter. So in those instances, it's always a good idea to have, you know, have a good idea of what's actually happening. So how many of you decided to do nothing and wait and just monitor social media? Huh? Is there a reason why you chose that route?
Well, it seemed like it'd be too early to actually start a formal investigation, but you just keep your eyes on it and see which direction it's headed.
It's important to say, Janice, this is a very important point. There's no right or wrong answers with this. And actually, you might be doing all three simultaneously while you're trying to figure out what the hell's going on. This is meant to be thought-provoking, so there's no right or wrong answers.
And also, each organization, you're going to have certain processes around incident response. But I'm just kind of curious in the audience, how many of you are involved in incident response and containing content leaks? That's great. So this is really relevant. So an instance where you're just monitoring social media, at this point, are you reaching out to anybody in the organization to let them know what you're seeing, or are you just keeping it quiet at this point?
It's a good idea to give folks a heads up.
Of course. So that kind of leads us to, you know, initiating legal and PR communication strategy. But usually when it comes to that area, that's something is already a good process to have that in place before, you know, an incident happens.
Janice, so, can I ask a couple of questions of the audience?
Sure.
How many people are from an SME in the room? Or how many people? Got some SMEs here? Yeah? How many people from the larger organisations? So that's going to be the bulk of the room, right?
Mm-hmm.
So some of you are going to have a very formalised process for this. So the idea of this presentation is to be thought-provoking. So for the people who've got a contingency plan already there, it's a sense check to see if you're thinking in the right way. But for those SMEs, you're probably going to have nothing. So you're going to be doing this on the fly. That's just an important point to try and figure out.
So I think the term formal investigation, I think going back to the covert and reconnaissance, is before you want to alert everyone you have a problem, you want to determine that you have a problem. And revising your strategy is always great because your PR people are going to be the first people calling you saying, we're seeing this. Our marketing department will let us know, hey, we're seeing something in social media. What do you guys know about it?
Yeah.
Rather than put out a formal statement, which will basically be, I don't know, let me get back to you. That's why I would say, yeah, you would start an informal investigation, but a formal investigation is where you're putting down, we have a clear threat, and you can't say that without doing informal investigation.
Right. Yeah. So those of you who have got a large organization, which is the bulk of the room, how many people know what their supply chain would do when this happens? Because it's not going to happen to you, it's going to happen to someone further down in your supply chain. So how many people have that in their plan? Most? Do you have a requirement, a contract?
I think that's based on educating your, you know, from people down the line, right? And that's where your periodic awareness campaigns come in, and also your incident response tabletop exercises.
Yeah.
Where you essentially periodically train your people to and you essentially also give them the tabletop exercises in the different scenarios for them to, you know, provoke some kind of an event, trigger an event, and then based on that event, you look at your gaps.
Right.
Here's another question. Again, every organization has a different risk tolerance. We're dealing with TV content, and it's a trailer. It's a 2-minute trailer. Some cases, you know, if you're in an organization, they argue that leak of a trailer might be positive buzz. It's also the timing of it, where some organizations will look at that as any sort of a leak. It's negative to reputation. They may be concerned of how that's going to affect that particular viewership. So again, this really goes to your organization's strategy.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you want to add?
So I think we should move on to the next one, otherwise we'll run out of time. So update two. Sorry, that was
Oh, this is interesting. So once it's confirmed, we're kind of almost neck and neck here, but starting a formal investigation and then implementing a legal and communication strategy.
Do nothing's gone away though.
So now it's real. So now it's real. You're all getting scared. I'm going to legal. Let's go legal. Right, the legal department sometimes can really slow all of this decision making down, and they're going to take a very formal approach. But you're dealing with content and a fan base. You heard of Alex earlier about actually legal's one aspect of it, but you're really actually concerned about what the fans are thinking and what they're going to do, because they're the people that make the money. It's not necessarily the legal approach that's going to be the right approach. You might want to take a much softer touch of this. You might want to release a little bit. I did a job for EMI for about 5 years where a Rolling Stones album called 40 Licks leaked, right? And one of the heads of the label came to me at Capitol here up the road, and they said, you know what, best thing that ever happened. The sales spiked because it went out about 6 days before from a promo, and it actually spiked. And we're here trying to protect the content. We've got a head of label who's saying, this was a great piece of PR. So it's not always about being legal and finding it, you know, put a head on a stick is not always the best thing. So it's just, yeah.
Right. So as a part of your formal investigation, what are some steps that you will take during this stage? Are there any steps that you would take here as far as how you're, you know, assembling your team, how maybe your enforcement strategy? Maybe at the same time you're sending takedown notices, yes.
I think that really depends on the tools you have at your disposal. So
yes.
A company that might have a MAM in place, you know, their first thing is going to know, okay, where is this asset? Let's look who touched it, let's run the reports. So a lot of, you know, it could be used to not only, you know, find out where it originated from, but to prove certain facilities innocence.
Yeah, and this is also a challenge when you're starting to deal with all these external stakeholders that you're having to talk to various, maybe in this kind of case, you know, maybe digital partners. Also,
I'm just ripping this up into the next one.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So we have here for update three, now we have a good idea of where we think that leak came from. So, we're pretty much in the focus on incident response here, which is great. Using a fake Reddit account.
thank God that wasn't 100%.
I'm actually really happy to see that's low. But there are times you see that kind of communication happening sometimes online. And I think one thing I want to point out that if you do have a strategy where you are going undercover and you're connecting with the pirates out there, just, you know, make sure that you're following your company's social media policy regarding how you're communicating, you know, with people like this, because it can also create, you know, some other issues. And you also want to make sure it's in line with, you know, the marketing folks. And again, how your PR team, you know, wants you to handle it. So with regards to focusing on the incident response, so now we know that we have the server in question. How would you go about determining, narrowing down the number of vendors that this could possibly be? What would be your strategy there? Yeah, that's where your timelines become really important, because from the very beginning of your investigation, if you start to develop your timeline and looking at all your logging to determine at what point somebody has received content, you can also start to also look at the content that's leaked, and are there any details about it? How is it localized? Are there certain aspect ratio, you know, details that might also narrow down that scope? So during this period, you're also truly trying to narrow it down as much as you can.
Great.
Just one other point, back to the supply chain thing. So we've identified that the bulk of the room is a large organisation, but you've all answered pretty well that you're going to focus on incident response. That requires you to have available information. So how well is your supply chain logging activity? What information in your supply chain is actually going to be available? A key point, you're going to have it sorted. At your level, at the corporate level, your organisation is going to be doing most of the important stuff. But what about the people who are actually going to be the target? Because you may not be the target. It's going to be somebody in your supply chain. So you're going to have to make sure certain things are in place to get that information so that you can red team it or gold team it, whatever you preference.
Just a comment. I mean, if it's that high profile, maybe forensic watermarking is something you might want to do ahead of time.
Well, here's a challenge. With short form content, oftentimes you can't have a forensic watermark. Now, some technologies you can. The longer it is, the better. But when you start getting into shorter content, sometimes it's difficult to do that. Also, with TV, it really depends on your organization. Some will watermark, some will not. Some will actually plant a bug maybe in an image so that they'll know exactly who that's gone to. But in this instance, it was probably sent out to the same version was sent out to multiple partners.
Graham,
well.
do you want to make a comment, Graham?
Yeah, I was just going to say that you're not actually quite correct in terms of watermarking technology. It's now possible to watermark by friend. And that obviously will make a difference because if you don't retrieval watermark, then it would be no point. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, in terms of watermarking the supply chain, if companies don't actually watermark their channel partners, it's always very difficult to identify.
It is. One thing that's always, if we're going to be successful in our incident response, one thing that's important is to always make sure that we're proactive and we have processes in place. So that way, you already have a process to fall back on. So first would be to conduct security reviews of all your vendors. This is where the TPM can help you, to make sure that the vendors that are being used go through the proper vetting process. Also with security briefings, some of you might have some situations where you've been very successful with security briefings. Implementing an incident response plan. I mean, oftentimes when I go out and do a review, we'll find that the incident response plan isn't up to date, the stakeholder information is out of date, or might not even accurately reflect the workflow. So it's really important to make sure the workflows are in agreement with your plan.
And Janice, Alex was saying earlier that the BBC don't need to practice their incident response plan because there are so many incidents. If you haven't got incidents, then you do need to make sure you stand up a war, as an R, and you run everyone through it because you don't want people finding this out for the first time. When there's a real problem.
Yeah, Alex's message is don't practice it in real time. It's like it's very stressful.
Anything more? Is that
getting some? Yeah, I think so. And we talked a little bit about a social media strategy, communication strategy, and also how you're going to be working with counsel and what is going to be your enforcement strategy. Number six, I think, becomes important because again, it goes back to your organization. Sometimes you may not want to enforce. Because maybe,
again, it's going to create positive buzz.
Is anybody else going to share anything here that's worked very well for them in their incident response plans?
Can I say
something?
Sure. So, in the real world, where we have had a number, as you know, so I think the focus initially is really on how far is it spreading, who's got hold of it, and also what the fans are saying. What is the feedback from them, and how are we as a business engaging with them? You tend to get a lot of comments coming out when something like this happens. So it's around. So I think kind of initially my conversations are with comms in terms of this has happened, with our supply chain in terms of it looks like it's come from this area, and I tend to kind of go by the ethos, if you like, of I'm not going to report internally until we've got kind of true facts on the impact, the spread, and where we know it's coming from.
I've got a few just show of hands in the room. What I'd like to know is what area people are working in the room. So how many people are in content protection if you just put your hands up? Okay, how many sitting on the corporate side of things? Anybody? No? Okay, yeah, we've got some on the corporate side. Okay, and on IT? From an IT perspective? Okay. Good. So the message from that is primarily content. We are at a content protection summit. Interestingly, people are coming to listen about subjects they're pretty well used to hearing about. But what we haven't got is people here from IT, and we haven't got anyone here from corporate. That's a clear message to put back into our organisation. These things start at the top of the pyramid. We need people from the corporate and the IT coming to these events so that they can become more aware of what we're talking about. And I would urge you to try and get people from those communities to try and come to these events. It's more important for them to learn about it. What I would like to say in closing is thanks for coming. We've got a full room, and that's really quite heartwarming. It would have been a real bummer if we'd gone 10,000 miles and no one turned up. Thank you very much. You've got something from it. It's meant to be thought-provoking. Feel free to come and see us through the day and have a chat. You know, the details are on there if you want to contact us after the event.